There is a song that is sometimes sung in UK churches called "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" This, however, is not a song that was born of the experience of worshippers in the UK church, but is a song that was born of the experience of slaves in the US in the 19th century. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? In their experience of being dehumanized through slavery, there was something in the suffering of Jesus upon the cross that spoke powerfully to those who wrote these words and to those who continued to sing them through the long years of pain that they endured. Out of a different sort of pain, Edward Shillitoe wrote his poem Jesus of the Scars from his perspective of the horrors of the First World War. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thy eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sign of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. The heavens frighten us, they are too calm. In all the universe we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us, where is the balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars we claim thy grace. If when the doors are shut thou drawest near, only reveal those hands, that side of thine. We know today what wounds are, have no fear. Show us thy scars, we know the countersign. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a god has wounds, but thou alone. Here once again, in these words, the suffering and the scarring of the crucified Jesus, Shillitoe finds someone with whom he can relate in the suffering he has witnessed and experienced during war. We live in a world where, despite the promise of the modern dream, the suffering of humanity has not lessened to any degree. Just ask the people in Myanmar at the moment. One of the biggest impediments for many in coming to faith in God is how could they believe in a God of love or in any God at all, where people endure such massive and undeserved affliction in war, in famine, in natural disaster, in human abuse, exploitation, and sheer neglect. Yet in the suffering of many who were endured slavery, in the words of Edward Shillitoe, we find some who have turned to the cross and find there what cannot be found anywhere else, it seems, in the diverse world of human religions. They find a God who does not stand aloof from the suffering of humanity and isolate himself in heavenly glory. They find a God who hangs on a tree, bloodied and broken. They find a God who suffers with them. In the cross, we see a God who hasn't come only to inhabit our humanity, but a God who has had that humanity degraded and abused to such a horrendous degree by being ultimately killed upon the cross. We have a God who suffers. This morning we continue our reflections on the different facets of how we understand the death of Jesus, using that image of the diamond and its different facets to reflect the strange beauty of the cross, where from different perspectives we can see how Jesus' death can be understood in different ways. Over the last couple of weeks, we reflected on Jesus' death as reconciliation and sacrifice. And this week we come to consider how the death of Christ can be seen in the facet of suffering. Our reading this morning in Matthew's Gospel is the account of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Each of the Gospel writers brings out a slightly different emphasis in the way they recount the horrors of this day, with different actions recorded and different words spoken. Here in Matthew's Gospel and in Mark, whose narrative Matthew closely follows, we have only one set of words recorded as being uttered by Jesus from the cross. In Matthew's Gospel, we also have him being utterly alone as he dies. Yes, there are the two criminals hanging beside him and the Romans around, but all his disciples, his friends, are absent from this scene in Matthew's Gospel. Here we have Jesus dying alone, abandoned. And the words he utters reflect this. My God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, the Son of God, utterly alone and abandoned, finds the strength somewhere to cry out in a loud voice, it says, as his body is ravaged by his tortuous execution, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are words taken directly from the opening to Psalm 22. And this psalm expresses the spiritual desolation of one who continues to trust in God despite his ungodly opponents mocking and persecuting him. The psalm has a joyful ending, but in the pain of the cross, we shouldn't read too much into Jesus' words, that this is what Jesus has in mind whilst he's nailed to the cross and uttering these words. Because in these moments, it is desolation and an abandonment that Jesus is experiencing. Jesus, less than 24 hours earlier, had prayed in Gethsemane, "My Father, if it is not possible for the cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And here on the cross, he experiences what it means to drink that cup to the full. Jesus didn't expect to be rescued from the cross, yet he still cannot fail to utter words of complete desolation, and he truly meant them. The forsakenness of Jesus upon the cross comes as the weight of humanity's sin is piled upon him, and this could be seen as an even greater torture for one who was sinless, and for the first time knows the weight of sin that leads to death. This is the cup that he has drunk, that he's needed to drink. And as Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, we see the God who suffers for us, but we also see the God who suffers with us. Part of what it means to be human is to suffer. We all suffer in some respects, through the fallibility of our bodies, through the pain of nerve endings, through the emotional responses we all experience. Suffering is one of the universal aspects of our humanity. But no matter where we fall on the socioeconomic spectrum, we all experience to lesser or sadly some, for some, greater degrees suffering. On the cross, though, God participates in human suffering. And so, as Brian Zand writes, every crucifix speaks to those who are suffering. You are not alone. I am with you in your suffering. Yet the suffering experienced by God on the cross is not some random act of violence. It's not pointless, because no aspect of the incarnation is ever without purpose. Christ on the cross takes upon himself all the suffering deliberately. And once God is involved in something, it can no longer be pointless. And as Scripture declares, by his wounds you have been healed. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, only a suffering God can help. In the suffering of the cross we are saved, but also in the suffering of the cross we are helped to see a path through our own suffering. The cross is not about the glorification of suffering. We do not suffer in life so as to be saved or any such nonsense. Now, the suffering of Jesus is about his transformation. The Swiss physician and mystic Adrian von Speyer says it like this: the suffering of the cross is an expression of the love within God, the expression chosen by God to show us his love in order to be able to reveal itself. Love suffers. But even within the suffering, there lies hope. That beyond the cross, there lies resurrection. When we look to Jesus suffering in the midst of our own suffering, our hope is that he will take us on that journey towards resurrection with him. Say you're about to go into hospital for treatment for a serious and dangerous operation. You have three friends that visit you beforehand. The first friend that comes along is someone who's never been sick a day in their life. And they come and say to you, "Oh, you'll be fine. There's nothing to worry about." The second friend is someone who's had the same operation you're going to have and is no better afterwards than they were before. And their gloomy message to you is, "Well, it didn't work for me, so I doubt it will work for you either." Your third friend has been just as ill as you've been. They've dreaded the operation and they found it an ordeal, but they've come through and counted it well worth enduring because they've made a full recovery, and they tell you this. I know which friend's company I would seek. And Jesus is like the third friend, because he has gone through his suffering and found the hope on the other side. As the writer to the Hebrews puts it, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses." There is a solidarity we find with the Christ of the cross, a sharing of experience we know between us and the one who has borne the cross for our salvation. We will all suffer in some way in our lives. Physical pain, emotional distress, bereavement, depression. This morning we've celebrated mothers. But that's not always something to be celebrated for all people. Some will have been abused by their mothers. Some will have a broken relationship with their mothers. Some will suffer the pain of not being a mother. We all suffer in different ways in our lives. Yet we can also know the love and comfort of one who has also suffered. But also in the face of our suffering, we can know more of Christ. In the experience of suffering, we can come face to face with the one who shares our experience and so deepen our relationship with him. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." In some mysterious way, we share in the sufferings of Christ when we suffer. The costly identification that Christ has with humanity works in two ways. He identifies with us and our human condition, but we can also connect with him in our suffering. The cross of Christ becomes our story when we come to faith in him. In Romans 6, Paul has already written, We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The cross of Jesus and his suffering is now our story as well. But also, as we walk through our path of discipleship, as we share the journey and all the suffering we experience in life, we share this with the one who has borne the suffering of the cross. We share our pain as we share his. But also, as we've shared his pain, we will also share the joy and the hope that will come in the promise of the future resurrection to eternal life. There is a glory to come that will be revealed in us, as wondrous as the one that was revealed in Jesus on that first Easter Sunday, a glory that will make the present sufferings of this time but a pale memory. What, though, does this mean for us? It means that we are never alone. We think of the Jesus of the manger being the one who is the God with us, which is comforting and has a snuggly sort of feel to it. But we also have the blooded and dying Jesus on the cross, who is the God who is with us, which is a less comfortable image. Yet in the storms of our life, it can be even more reassuring to know where our God has gone before us. But in the recognition of the solidarity of Christ with the suffering of the world, it is also a call for us to minister to all the broken and bruised on the highways of the world. Wherever there is suffering, we can see Christ, we can be Christ, we can make Christ known. We all stand in need of the Christ, all that the crucified Christ has to offer. The wounded and suffering Christ of the cross brings hope to all in the world who are cast down, and he meets us in our suffering and draws us to himself in order that he lifts us up. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, we are always. Always and forever, living in the shadow of the cross, where the suffering Christ is the one whom we can draw alongside and find living hope in for the new life we can live through his sufferings. Let us pray. O Christ, ever sacrificed for us, meet us today in our suffering, in our joy, and may the healing power of the cross come and renew our lives through your poured out love. Amen.